this. I can see the thing. Will it stay on? السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم صدق الله مولانا العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته الله سبحانه وتعالى mentions in the glorious Quran to our beloved Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم قل أو رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم say إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ If you claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَاتَّبِعُونِ Then follow in my footsteps. So Allah ta'ala is telling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you make this statement. What is the statement? That if you claim that you love Allah, and each and every individual who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will claim that he loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were three groups of people. Number one, you had the mushrikeen, those who used to ascribe partners with Allah. So they would believe in Allah also, but they would worship idols also. Their claim was that مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَ The only reason why we worship these idols is so that through worshipping these idols, we can gain more close proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not worshipping the idols to try and get close to the idols. Our objective is to get close to Allah. So we are only worshipping these idols because we want to become the beloved of Allah. Meaning we are the lovers of Allah. We love Allah Ta'ala. The second category were the Christians. The Christians used to say, Na'budu Isa wa Maryam. We worship Isa alayhi salam. And we worship Maryam alayhi salam. We worship Jesus and we worship Mary. Limuhabbatillah. So that through worshipping them, we can gain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third category were the Jews. And with these Jews, there were also some Christians who used to say, Nahnu abna'u Allah wa ahibba'u. We are the sons of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we are the beloved of Allah. The first two categories used to say, we are the lovers of Allah. And the third category, the Jews used to say, not only do we love Allah, but we are the beloved of Allah. Allah also loves us. This was their claim. But every claim requires proof. You cannot claim something without having proof. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that address all of these categories. Whether they are the mushrikeen, whether they are the Christians, or whether they are the Jews. That in kuntum tuhibboon Allah, if you are true in this claim of yours that you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then prove it. And how will you prove it? Fattabi'uni, by following in my footsteps. You will have to do what I do. And as far as my footsteps are concerned, then when it comes to aqa'id and beliefs, I do not ascribe any partners with Allah Ta'ala. I worship only one Allah. So you will have to also worship only one Allah. You will have to stop worshipping these idols. I do not worship Isa alayhi salam or Maryam alayhi salam. So you will have to also stop worshipping Isa alayhi salam and Maryam alayhi salam. So a person can only become the lover of Allah Ta'ala and thereafter the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he in his life ensures that what he is doing is in accordance to the teachings of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But in doing so, sometimes we make a very major mistake. And that major mistake is that we do not truly understand or truly educate ourselves in the correct manner as to what the lifestyle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. So you will have one category that they are not practicing upon the deen anyway. So they are definitely not following in the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then you have a second category who they themselves perceive that we are practicing upon the deen and we are following in the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But whilst they are thinking that we are doing something very good, in reality, what they are doing is completely contrary to what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us. So they may be exerting much effort. They may be making great sacrifices. But they will not gain what they are expecting to gain from their actions. Hazrat Sheikh Yunus Sahib, rahimahullahu ta'ala, a great muhaddith of our time, who passed away very recently. He has narrated this incident, that an individual saw a dream. And in the dream, he saw that it was the day of Qiyamah. And the angels, they made an announcement, or they were making announcements regarding different actions. That whoever carried out this action, they should come forward and we are going to present them with their reward. So an action would be mentioned, all those who used to practice and carry out that particular action, they would all come forward and they would be given the reward for that action. The angels announced that whoever used to recite Tasbih Fatimi, they should come forward. So in the day, there are two occasions when we should recite Tasbih Fatimi. Two occasions. One is after Salah. And number two, before retiring to bed. I've been talking here for so many years now, you should know everything. So alhamdulillah, someone's been listening. After every Farz Salah and before retiring to bed. After every Farz Salah. How valuable is this deed? How valuable. That the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, those who are not so wealthy, when they came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Zahaba ahlul duthur bidarajatil ula. O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we perform namaz, they also perform namaz. We fast, they also fast. We read Quran, they also read Quran. So we are equal. But there is one aspect in which we cannot compete with these companions, and that is that they are wealthy and we are not wealthy. So when it comes to financial and monetary ibadah, they are surpassing us. So in Jannah, they are going to be in a much higher rank than us. This was their concern. The concern was not that because they are more wealthy, they can live in a more better house, or they can drive a more better car, or they can wear more better clothing. The concern was always regarding Akhirah and the hereafter. That when it comes to the Akhirah and the hereafter, am I ahead or am I behind? We always think about the world. So in worldly matters, we will compare ourselves to our neighbors, to our brothers, to our sisters, to our friends. In worldly matters, am I ahead of them or am I behind them? And if we see that in worldly matters, I am behind, then we feel worried, we feel concerned, we feel like we are falling behind, we need to do something. And with regards to the Akhirah, number one, the thought never crosses our mind. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to shower us with His mercy, and on the odd occasion the thought does cross our mind, that I am very behind, look at how much ibadah He is doing, then we will not feel hurt. We will not feel like we are falling behind. We will not feel like we are left out. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to nurture the Sahaba with this mindset. That at all times you should be worried and concerned with regards to the Akhirah and the hereafter, not this world. Upon the completion of one expedition, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was presented back with a cloth made out of silk. A very expensive cloth made out of silk. So the Sahaba, they began to look at this cloth made out of silk, out of amazement, that how amazing is this cloth? So expensive. Like if you saw a very expensive car outside, those who are interested in cars, they will start looking at it, that, look at this car, it's so amazing. Even if I was to work my whole life, I would be able to get into this car. So the Sahaba were amazed by the expensive silk cloth. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw their amazement, instantly, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned their attention towards Akhirah. And he said, you are amazed by this silk cloth? لَمَنَادِيلُ سَعْدٍ. The towel which a person uses to clean his hands after he has eaten, a handkerchief, a tissue, that in Jannah, which Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu will receive, will be far more greater than this silk cloth. In other words, if that will be far more greater, then imagine the towel that you use to wipe your face. And if that will be even greater than that towel which you use after you have a bath. And if that will be so great, then the actual clothing a person wears in Jannah. So Akhirah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would turn their attention towards Akhirah. So these Sahaba, they were concerned that when it comes to the Akhirah, we are behind. Why are we behind? Because some are wealthy. The wealthy Sahaba can spend in the path of Allah Ta'ala. We cannot spend in the path of Allah. So they will be ahead of us. So what did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teach them? That after every Fard Salah, recite 33 times Subhanallah, 33 times Alhamdulillah, and 34 times Allahu Akbar. You will gain the same reward that those wealthy Sahaba are gaining when they are spending in the path of Allah. Meaning, look at the sacrifice they have to make. They have to leave the house, they have to work hard. And after earning that wealth, then to part with that hard-earned wealth, that in itself is a great sacrifice. Leaving the home, great sacrifice. Then working, again great sacrifice. All the challenges that come with the job. And then after you've earned the money, now to spend that money in the path of Allah Ta'ala, again this requires effort. So they are doing all of that, and what do you need to do to be on the same level as them? After namaz, read 33 times Subhanallah, 33 times Alhamdulillah, and 34 times Allahu Akbar. And you will be on the same level. So how valuable is this deed? How valuable is this deed? And number two, when Fatima radiallahu anha, when she was informed that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has received some slaves and some slave girls, and he is distributing them. So her husband, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, said that go and ask your father for one slave girl, so that she can help with the chores in the house. It will be easier for you. There will be less burden. So Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha came, but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not home. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned and he was informed that your daughter Fatima came earlier, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself went to the house of his daughter. And Fatima radiallahu anha and Ali radiallahu anhu, they had already entered into the bed. It was night time. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took permission and then he sat on the edge of the bed. And he said that, oh my beloved daughter, and oh my beloved son-in-law. I was informed that you came with a request that I give you one of the slaves or slave girls, so that it becomes more easier for you to carry out the chores of the house. But should I not give you something which is far more greater than this? And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught his daughter and his son-in-law that every night before retiring to bed, recite 33 times Subhanallah, 33 times Alhamdulillah, and 34 times Allahu Akbar. Now in this day and age, if the daughter comes to the father or the son-in-law comes to the father-in-law and says that we are in need, financially we are struggling, and the father-in-law says, I'll teach you a dua, what will be our reaction? And I've come to ask for money and he's teaching me duas. Because the same thing, our mind doesn't go towards akhirah. We don't understand the value of these things. As soon as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them that more valuable than having a slave, he could have given the slave, he could have given the slave girl. Which father at that moment would not want to give one slave girl to his daughter when he knows that my daughter from morning to evening she is toiling in the house. She has to do all the chores by herself. We study hadith but we just read and move on. Picture yourself in that situation that you are the father and your daughter has come. And you are the prophet of Allah. You can do as you please at that time. If you want to give a slave girl, he could have given all the slave girls and work in the house of my daughter. And Fatima could have sat at home, worshipped Allah Ta'ala, done whatever she wanted to, relaxed. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught them that there is something much more valuable than this. Because that toiling in the house, that working hard in the house, that is also going to be rewarding for you. And many a times, if you give your children that luxurious life, and they have all the luxuries at their disposal, then it's very easy for them to forget Allah Ta'ala. This is why Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahimahullahu ta'ala, in the latter portion of his life, he called his children and he said to them that I could have given you much wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made me the Amirul Mu'mineen. But there are two types of children. There are those who obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and there are those who disobey Allah ta'ala. Those who obey Allah ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He Himself becomes their guardian and looks after them. And those who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they become the means of the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I am not leaving you with any wealth. Why am I not leaving you with any wealth? Because after my demise, if you obey Allah, then Allah ta'ala will provide for you. And if you are to disobey Allah ta'ala, then you will be disobeying Allah ta'ala with my wealth, so I will become deserving of the punishment of Allah. So why should I leave you with any wealth? There is no need. Their mind always went towards the akhirah. It was groomed, nurtured in this manner. Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he is in his final moments. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu is the Khalifa. So Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu came and asked Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu that how are you feeling? So through the conversation he understood that Ibn Mas'ud is now in his final moments. A great companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said regarding him that if you want to read the Quran as it was revealed, then you should copy the recitation of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. This is how he would recite the Quran. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when did he say this? When on one night he was with Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu. And after finishing the meeting, as they were leaving, they saw that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is in the masjid. He is reciting Quran in his tahajjud salah. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood there and listened to his recitation. And thereafter he said these words. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said in his mind that in the morning I am going to go and inform Ibn Mas'ud that this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said regarding you. So in the morning Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu rushed to the house. And he informed Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu that this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said regarding you. So what was Ibn Mas'ud's reply? He said, Jazakallah for informing me. But just a few moments ago, Abu Bakr came and Abu Bakr has already informed me regarding this. Umar was thinking inside that I will on this occasion surpass Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. But even on this occasion, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu surpassed Umar radiallahu anhu, and Umar radiallahu anhu said that there is nothing I can do when it comes to competing with Abu Bakr. He is always ahead of me. So Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, when he was in his final moments, Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu came and said that, let me give you some money. So Ibn Mas'ud said, what am I going to do with money? I am leaving the world now. So Uthman said, not for you. You are leaving behind daughters. Who is going to look after them? You are leaving the world. So we are giving you these benefits so that your daughters can benefit from these benefits. So what was his reply? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu's reply was that I have no concern and no worry with regards to the finances of my daughters after I leave this world. Why? Is it because I've left behind so many mansions for them? Is it because I have left behind so much dinars or dirhams in the bank? No. Because I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, Man qara'a surat al-waqi'ah kulla laylatin lam tusibhu faqa. That individual who recites Surah Al-Waqi'ah every night before retiring to bed, poverty will not even come close to that person. And I have nurtured my daughters in such a way that every night before retiring to bed, they recite Surah Al-Waqi'ah. So I have firm conviction in the teachings of my Nabi that poverty will not even come close to my daughters. This is the value these people had for these teachings. So Hazrat Ali and Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha were informed that shall I not teach you something more better than giving you a slave? Read Tasbih Fatimi every night before retiring to bed. So how did they hold fast to this teaching? How did they value it? That Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in the latter portion of his life, imagine Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed away now. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu became Khalifa, he passed away. Umar radiallahu anhu became Khalifa, he passed away. Uthman radiallahu anhu became Khalifa, he passed away. And Ali radiallahu anhu now, in his last portion of his life, he is saying to his students, more than 40 years must have passed. He is saying to his students that since that day till today, there has not been a single night in which I have retired to bed without reciting Tasbih Fatimi. Every night I have recited Tasbih Fatimi. So one of the students sitting there asked that what about on the night of Siffin? the great battle when you were the chief commander of your army. Imagine the night before the battle. How much duties and tasks the chief commander has. We have a wedding in the family the next day and we forget what we have to do. Salah goes out the window, which is farz and compulsory. Here we're not talking about farz salah, we're talking about tasbih Fatimi. Ali radiallahu anhu said, not even on the night of Siffin. Even on the night of Siffin, I ensure that I recited tasbih Fatimi. So we will end on this. I don't know what I was talking about. Yeah. Leave these two lessons. Tasbih Fatimi. Yeah. After every salah from today, inshallah. After every salah, farz salah, we will recite Tasbih Fatimi. We will gain the same reward that those people gain who spend in the path of Allah Ta'ala. And number two, every night before retiring to bed. Tasbih Fatimi. The point that I started off with was, in kuntum tuhibbun Allah fattabi'uni, that if you claim to love Allah, you have to follow in the footsteps of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I was mentioning an incident. The incident I was mentioning is that on the day of Qiyamah, the angels were giving the reward. So they called out that where are those who used to read Tasbih Fatimi? So each person who used to recite Tasbih Fatimi, they came forward and the angels were giving them the reward. Until they mentioned all the names, and after mentioning all the names, that folder was put away and they moved on to the next action. Now there was one person sitting there. He was thinking to himself that my name will be called out last in this list. Because the one who is the best, the winner, that you leave the best to the last. And he thought to himself that I am practicing upon this in the best manner. How? That I don't recite it 33, 34. 100 times Subhanallah, 100 times Alhamdulillah, 100 times Allahu Akbar. I recite it even more. So I'll gain the most reward. But the whole list was mentioned of all the people that used to recite Tasbih Fatimi. Folder was closed. So he said to the angels, what about me? You forgot me. So the angel said, you never recited Tasbih Fatimi in your life. So he said, I did. I used to read 100 times, forget 33 times. So they said, this is exactly, Allah Ta'ala has told us to follow in the footsteps of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Tasbih Fatimi is recite 33, 33, 34, not 100, 100, 100. So yes, you will be rewarded for reciting Subhanallah 100 times, but that's not Tasbih Fatimi. So what is the lesson? The lesson is that we need to follow in the footsteps of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam as he has taught us. That action becomes extremely valuable. If Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has taught us that two rakats fajr salah is performed, and someone thinks to himself, I will perform three rakats, I will perform four rakats. No, that action is no longer valuable now. Because it's not the way Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has taught us. So when we are told that do this because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has told us, then we should try and emulate and do it in the exact manner without asking any questions. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam once said, Ni'ma al-rajul al-Khurayim al-Asadi. Khurayim al-Asadi is an amazing man. Imagine the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam calling somebody amazing. How fortunate he was. But then he said, "Lawla tulu jummatihi wa isbalu izarihi." If only there were two things which he would correct. Number one, his hair is very long. And number two, his trousers are very long. So our trousers should always be above our ankles. They should never touch the ankles. And the sunnah method is halfway between the knee and the ankles, where the shin is. This is the sunnah method. And with regards to the hair, there's a whole explanation. That's another topic. But as soon as he heard this, Instantly, he made sure that he shortened his hair and he made sure that his izar was now in between the knee and the ankle where the shin is. Instantly. Without asking for any explanation. This was the Sahaba. That as soon as they were told that this is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted, that without questioning, instantly they would do that. So we need to, yes, we need to follow the sunnah. Yes, we need to follow in the footsteps of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the way Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us, that same way. Sometimes we do less, sometimes we do more. These are two different extremes. And we are not extremists. We need to be on the middle path. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us all the ability. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Please stand up in your places and make the rows. Stand close together. Fill in any empty gaps.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا
one important announcement that Madrasa Ta'limul Quran, or the Knighton Masjid here, is now gift aid registered. So those who are UK taxpayers, they are requested to assist the masjid in this way, that on your way out there is a QR code which will direct you towards a form that you can fill in. And when you fill this form in, then this will assist the masjid, because from your donations, 25% will be returned back to the masjid. So if you are a UK taxpayer, you are requested to fill that form in. On your way out, you can use the QR code and thereafter fill it out on your phones. So please keep this in mind either today or sometime in the future, that this is now a gift aid registered organization. Likewise, inshallah, tomorrow after Asr Salah, our weekly Dars e Quran will take place. All brothers are requested to participate, and brothers are requested to donate generously on the way out. Jazakallah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اتق الله حيثما كنت وأتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحها وخالق الناس بخلق حسن أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المؤمنين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر وأصدقهم حياء عثمان وأقضاهم علي وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين اللهم اغفر للعباس وولده مغفرة ظاهرة وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبا الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم ومن آذاهم فقد آذاني ومن آذاني فقد آذى الله ومن آذى الله فيوشك أن يأخذه اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر من نصر دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم واجعلنا منهم واخذل من خذل دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا تجعلنا معهم اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين والمسجد الأقصى المبارك واجعل اللهم آمنة مطمئنة وسائر بلدان المسلمين اللهم انصر إخواننا المسلمين المظلومين في فلسطين اللهم انصرهم ولا تنصر عليهم اللهم ألف بين قلوبهم وأصلح ذات بينهم وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. هل أتاك حديث الغاشية وجوه يومئذ خاشعة عاملة ناصبة تصلى نارا حامية تسقى من عين آنية ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع وجوه يومئذ ناعمة لسعيها راضية في جنة عالية لا تسمع فيها لاغية فيها عين جارية فيها سرر مرفوعة وأكواب موضوعة ونمارق مصفوفة وزرابي مبثوثة أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت وإلى السماء كيف رفعت وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت فذكر إنما أنت مذكر لست عليهم بمسيطر إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر إن إلينا إيابهم ثم إن علينا حسابهم. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا اللهم اشف مرضانا ربنا لا اللهم اهدنا اللهم ارنا صلى الله عليه وسلم. Yeah.